For August the 1st, 2025, we talk about The Hundred Line, Last Defense Academy, Witchfire, Date Everything, and much more. Welcome to Level 552. My name is Kay Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Moxie.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, everybody. Today is a very special day. It is Dottie the Cat's fifth birthday.
Oh, holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. Aww.
So what do cats do to celebrate a birthday?
They have no concept of what a year is. Every day is a new surprise for them. And I just gave her one of those kitty Go-Gurts for no reason other than it was her birthday. I don't think she drew any lines between any of the things, but it's more for me than anything. Yeah, she was born.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
She was born in a barn. And I adopted her way too young because her mom stopped taking care of her. I bottle fed her, and now she barely wants me to touch her. So,
aww.
It's like having a kid.
It's the arc. Yeah, I was gonna say that's the arc that every mom goes through.
Yeah, so that's really all that I have going on is marking that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I can't tell if 5 years is really fast or really slow, I guess, from when that event happened.
Again, like I got her over COVID and everything is fucked up because of that. So it is both at the same time.
Yeah, when time stopped.
Yeah. I don't know Greta's birthday. I just assume like 6 months before I adopted her. But for her, I celebrate just on the day that I the day that I got her, gotcha day or whatever. So, yeah.
See, I just assume like Greta to me sounds like the name of everyone's grandmother. Mm-hmm. So I just assume that Greta was born as an old lady.
Yes. Kind of acts a little bit like that, like a very hungry old lady.
can like, relate.
Both of them have great grandmother names, Greta and Dottie. Greta just came like that from the shelter. Dottie, I named her after Dottie from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but also I was like, "Oh, that also works because it's old lady names." So I don't know, get a third one and name it Prudence or whatever.
Do you ever tell her, you know, I'm a rebel, Dottie.
I'm a loner, Dottie, a rebel. Yeah, I'll say that a few times.
Oh. Now, Kate, you did say gotcha day, which sounds like a very dangerous concept where you have to buy random packs that hopefully have a present in it over and over again.
Yeah, it's kind of
you get a random cat.
You get a random cat hoping that it's yours. Every year, somebody abducts my cats. They abduct my cats and put them in a box, and I have to... I have to hope I get the right one. Yeah. Oh well. Who has something more exciting than a cat birthday?
That's so underselling the cat birthday.
Go ahead, Mox.
Yeah. I think you're underselling cat birthday. That right. being said, this past weekend there's a big kung fu tournament in town. So I didn't compete, but went and supported some of my classmates that competed.
Okay.
And it was a really cool tournament. I'd say I would estimate, and Greg, this is both like competitors and coaches and judges, stuff like that, maybe 200 to 300 people, something Whoa. Like that. You know, all sorts of pretty much all Chinese martial arts, so all kung fu, but all sorts of disciplines.
So everybody really was kung fu fighting.
Yes.
No,
they
only
were.
A portion of them. There were some people who were aikido fighting. There were some people.
I think the funniest thing to me is you know that joke about like. Oh, you think your job's useless? Imagine being the lifeguard at the Olympics, that sort of thing. Well, in a similar thing, the venue had bodyguards, or had security guards.
Yeah,
But yeah, so also fun. I might need to see if maybe I can like track down some pictures or something. One of the main styles taught at the school I go to is Bagua, so like 8 trigrams. And one of the things it's known for that one of the students competed in and won is basically one of its things is basically anime sword. Just okay. Like a huge freaking sword that you use one-handed for no good reason.
Oh, you're doing a Guts from Berserk thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like the whole thing, Bagua is, if you've seen Avatar, airbending is based on Bagua and looks very similar to it. So like the whole idea is like you don't swing the sword, you move your body and the sword comes with you. Right. Type of thing.
I hear Wario specializes in this form.
Hmm?
I missed that one.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Yeah, it took some explanation, but now that you have, I approve.
It's a. it was a bit of a long walk.
I am pleased with myself.
But yeah, no, it was a really good tournament, was really impressed, you know, the after each competition, you know, the judges talk with each competitor and, like, you know, give them advice and, you know, here's what you did well, here's what you can work on. Really seemed like people did, you know, really trying to focus on more, less like, hey, is what you did super flashy, and more like, is it technically correct and, like, you know, following good body mechanics, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you would you know, have like, say, like older people that, you know, were competing against much younger people but still were able to compete because of that.
Huh,
which
nice.
Is pretty cool. So yeah just really cool experience, a lot of fun. Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to compete next time, or is that just
yes yeah. That's definitely my goal. The thing that's tough is the style I was training before this, Wing Chun, is a fairly straightforward style. You know, isn't really into kicks, doesn't have a lot of footwork, that sort of thing. So it just doesn't lend itself that well to competition.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, isn't exactly visually interesting unless you're
unless you know.
Donnie Yen.
Right.
It's not interesting unless you find just being ruthlessly efficient and killing people interesting.
Right. Well, it's funny because, like, most, like, kung fu choreography you see in movies is Wing Chun. So it looks really cool if you have another person you're interacting with, because, you know, when you see the people doing like all the super fast like hand blocks and stuff like that, that's very Wing Chun. But like, that's something that without another person doesn't really look that interesting, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
So yeah, but next year definitely gonna be preparing stuff that's, you know, kind of more appropriate, and definitely hope to compete.
Cool. Yeah. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I think the big thing I did over the weekend is I went down to Portland for a day. I have some Swedish friends who just had a kid, mm-hmm. and there's a tradition that's new in Swedish culture where it's like a baby naming ceremony.
Okay.
So since it's a new tradition,
get to vote?
Yeah, exactly. No, they had already like named their kid. It's like the tradition's new, so there's not a lot of like things nailed down about it. You can kind of like make it what you want to make it. So yeah, that was fun. I think the thing that I noticed outside of that was interesting is all my friends in Portland have motorized bicycles now. Like, that's the they've all leveled up to that, I guess.
Like electric mopeds.
It's like a bike, but it's like much more like a utility bike now, where it's like baskets on the front, basket on the back, battery pack so you can kind of go forever and don't have to pedal uphill or anything like that.
Yeah, they got e-bikes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so it was just weird that I saw none of those the last time I was there, and now they're like all over the place. So, yeah.
So this is only tangentially related, but I just saw what the Tour de France either just ended or like is still going on. I don't know. For all I know, they just like, you know, bike until the next year and then declare a winner and start again. I don't know. But apparently the huge thing now is electric motors have gotten so small that there's a big problem with like people concealing them.
No way.
Yeah. So like I guess they now literally x-ray everyone's bike.
Well, I guess if somebody tries it, you have to.
Yep.
Yeah.
I might have this wrong, but they call it like motor doping or like electric doping or something, mm-hmm. which is both the dumbest and the most badass name you could come up with for it.
Motor doping is good. Yeah.
Stop trying to make biohacking happen.
But yeah, those e-bikes look really neat. I, you know, have looked at them just from the perspective of like, you know, wanting to ride longer. Feeling that is better than like tiring myself out doing like high intensity, you know, and also like wanting to do, you know, not completely exhaust myself like on a hot day, right?
Mm. It's also, at least for me, like I am of the opinion, this is my like hot take, you know, whatever, that those are the only bikes that should be allowed on the road just because like those are the only ones where you don't have problems with getting stuck behind a biker going up a hill.
No, yeah. You're going to make the cyclists mad.
I was going to say, to be fair, you should have bike lanes in the first place.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Like the correct answer is like do what a lot of Europe does and don't just build your entire culture around cars and nothing but.
Yeah. Hmm.
But... So, yeah, I like naming day or whatever a lot better than like the random gender reveal
shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel like I always feel like that Homer Simpson when someone's like, it's a boy. It's a boy so far.
Right. It's a boy as far as you know. Yeah. Anything else?
I think that was the big thing, yeah.
Cool. Dennis, round us out.
Yeah, so I too had a child tick up a year today, mm-hmm. Which I didn't realize that Dottie and Luke share a birthday, so that's very cool.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. Yeah. We celebrated. He got to pick dinner tonight, and he went with salmon and farro with a side salad.
Is he a little businessman?
Yeah, he wore a tie to eat it and everything. I think what happened, we were actually trying to trace it back tonight. It might have been like on a cruise or something, not for his birthday, but like shortly before his birthday. And he like tried it and loved it.
Okay.
And then this was like when he was five. And so that's what he decided he wanted to like, you know, recreate that for his birthday that year. And then that became like the Luke birthday special. And he has asked for salmon and farro with a side salad every mm-hmm. year for his birthday since.
Okay.
Which like, I don't know when your kid eats healthier than you do,
right.
You probably have a problem. Uh-huh. It's like, I don't know, man. I could go for some nuggies right now. We don't have to.
What are Milo and Barrett? What's their like, you know, go-to special meals or whatever?
Milo is pancakes all day and all night.
Okay.
Yeah, loves. He eats like a bird, except for pancakes. And then they just like, I don't know, like physically space wise, it does not mm-hmm. seem like they should be able to fit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's hammer space except yes. pancakes.
And then Barrett's a little guy, so it changes a lot. But he basically he'll ask for a taco.
Okay.
And what he means when he says that is he wants a untoasted flour tortilla with shredded cheese sprinkled inside, but not melted.
Okay.
And then he eats that.
So, yeah, yeah. That sounds like a kid. Oh, that's where he's at.
So, oh, what's that thing where it's like raw food diet? It's like the raw food diet version of a quesadilla.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
The raw processed food diet.
Yes.
So, one of my go-to, like, pro tips is around Halloween's time, what you do, you make pancakes, and when they're just about to, get, set up, like, cook enough that they're set up, you sprinkle in some candy corn.
Oh.
Whoa.
Adding candy corn to a situation to improve it?
I mean, candy corn is one of the all-time greatest desserts. So.
Your mind is a fucking funhouse mirror.
we have established, like, for some reason, I only like the shittiest candy because, like, the things I wait all year on, year four, are candy corn and those, like, chalky hearts around.
I can get with you on the conversation hearts. Candy corn, I can't go for. I like old-timey shitty candy. This is a thing that Gary makes fun of me for a lot, though.
Don't think I didn't see the giant basket of Werther's in your house.
They weren't Werther's. I have two things of candies. One of which is gingins, like ginger, not chews, but just like ginger candy to cool my to settle down my stomach. And then I have some root beer barrels again because I like old timey candy. But yeah.
Yeah, normally I don't approve of bullying, but Gary is so right to make fun of you for this.
Oh, man.
I feel like for someone who talks for a living, though, I can understand hard candy,
It's fine. I can go for most of the day without having a piece of candy.
No, I mean, to soothe the throat,
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's good. I like those. When did this become a trial on me?
I will say
you corrected me when I said you had Werther's.
So okay. There's a difference between Werther's, which is a candy specifically for it's coded as grandparent, and like me liking one of those is basically medicine, the ginger ones, and then the root beer barrels are because I like the taste of root beer. Like,
okay, so you're at 6 feet. You can stop digging.
So I will say, in terms of just weird candy-related things, one of the things I love that I actually really miss is one of my friends down in Huntsville, like, got on a kick of he makes mead, and, mead is basically just, like, the honey is just a source of sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
And so any sugar, basically any candy that doesn't have preservatives in it, you can make mead out of. So he got into, like, at the end of all the holidays, like, trying to track down, the super cheap candy. Okay. And so he made candy corn mead, which was amazing, and made candy cane mead, which also was quite good.
Hmm.
But
I feel like we're playing fast and loose with the word mead here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. The candy corn is technically made with honey.
Hmm. Okay.
Technically pulls a lot of weight in that it sentence.
I forget how we got here. So I'm going to take us into talking about games. And to do that, we need to do the regular kind of show, What with the Grind, the Multiplayer, and the End Boss. And why don't we get started with
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing over the last period of time or so. Who has something new?
I do.
Okay.
So I picked up, haven't played a ton of it, but picked up Witchfire, which is a early access game that I think actually goes into, like, its 1.0, like, the end of this week or something like that.
Okay.
But it's kind of a open world I guess an extraction shooter, single player extraction shooter, except that you're playing as a witch hunter. So, you know, kind of think Warhammer, Fantasy Battle, like Inquisitor, that type of thing. So, you know, all steampunky weapon, guns and stuff like that, and, you know, random spells. Although this one, kind of strangely enough, goes much more in for the, like, instead of doing the, like, oh, yeah, and then we're going to have, like, a fantasy religion that's kind of a stand-in for Christianity. It's just straight-up Christianity.
Okay.
Like, it's straight-up just, like, the Pope sent you, like, to go fight some witches that are killing everyone, and, like, I guess maybe you could say your equivalent of like Dark Souls rings or like rosary beads and stuff like that. It's very much, it's got a theme and is running with it.
Okay.
But mostly it's just, you know, kind of a really fun, like I said, like extraction shooter. Reminds me from, extraction shooters are not my genre overall, but from what I've seen, it feels a little bit more like more mission based or like activity based, similar to like the Cycle or Call of Duty calls their things, and less of yes thank you, and less of it just kind of go in and fight people like a Tarkov.
Mm-hmm.
So
when I think extraction shooter, I think like, okay, you have, you know, a small number of large maps with kind of a couple of different, you know, zones or like dungeons inside of each of them. And you do like repeated missions with like different start points and then different goals that you go to. And you've got to like get into a place, acquire as many resources as you can and then get out safely. Is that what this is?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The one thing that I think you could argue is maybe less of a extraction shootery thing is, you know, most extraction shooters I've seen, you know, very much have the idea that like you have to take equipment in, and if you die, you lose it.
Okay.
And this doesn't really have that. Instead, it's very overtly inspired by Dark Souls, where, you know, you're picking up, in this case, it calls it witch fire. Mm-hmm. And if you die, you drop it and you can, you know, go back and try again to, you know, retrieve it. But if you die, it's gone. You know, that whole thing that's, you know, how like 90% of games do leveling up now.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like you said, it is very much that. I've only unlocked a single map so far, so I haven't seen a ton of it. But yes, it's very much what you're talking about. And like, you know, just to give an idea of like some of the things, like one of the kind of scenarios, you know, sub areas, whatever you want to call it, there's this huge like wrecked ship that I went in and found some treasure, and you know, but then as soon as I opened it, the ghosts of the crew started appearing and attacking me. I had to fight my way out.
Mm-hmm. Oh fuck, ghost boat.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know, really I should have seen it coming.
I mean, honestly, in the setting, yeah, probably.
Yeah, it almost, in terms of the presentation, almost reminds me of like the Hunt Showdown.
It's got kind of an Eastern European kind of look to it a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Are all of your powers gun based, or do you have like magic? You know, can you like, what are your abilities? Can you like load them out and level them up differently, or is it all just like gear?
Look, so, any sufficiently advanced gun is indistinguishable from magic.
That sounds like somebody who played most of Immortals of Avium.
You are correct.
Yeah.
That or Borderlands. Yeah, it's so when you start, you select from one of like six-ish classes, and each of those have different guns. I am assuming that similar to like most Dark Souls games, you can somehow get all of those, but I haven't seen that so far.
It also looks like each of the six classes specialize in one of the six like attributes in the game.
Yes, that is true. Yes.
One of which is witchery.
Yeah, it's a game that very much likes the what if we took something that had an actual name and then like gave it a different name.
Right.
So so for example, like your home base where you level up is called the Hermitorium.
Okay.
It's like you realize that hermitage is just a word, right?
Yeah. It sounds like they're just kind of complicating it.
Yeah, again, I'm guessing maybe that's like if you want to do the 40K thing but don't want to hire a nerd to write Latin for you.
Right. You can just make it sound kind of like fantasy-ify it by like 10 degrees. By 10%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far, all of the weapons I saw like in character creation, all guns, but all of them had something weird with them. So like I played the class that's kind of the beginner-coded class. And I have a submachine gun, but if I miss a shot, the bullets will ricochet and potentially hit an enemy.
Okay.
There's one that I think's like a sniper rifle that if you kill an enemy, all enemies in the field of like your crosshairs will take damage. So for your primary weapons, it's all guns, but all guns with magic-y bits. And then you also have a spell. So the one I currently have is just like a freeze spell. And I believe that as you collect experience, that also like recharges the spell.
Okay.
So yeah, I haven't seen like you do have a melee attack, but I haven't seen like swords or anything like that. And it doesn't look to me like you could make do like a sorcery build the way you can in Dark Souls. Although, you know, that might be, you know, something that, you know, maybe as you get farther you could do.
Yeah. Huh. Like what's going to unlock when they hit 1.0?
As I understand it, I haven't been following this all that much. It was just, you know, something that looked cool. And then I saw like, oh, it's to the point where I can play this without, you know, mostly being done.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I know is apparently right now it has 5 of those kind of macro levels, you know, huge levels. And there's going to be one more map that gets unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing there's other things, but that's the one I know of.
Okay.
I gotta cool. say, this game looks really cool.
Yeah, it definitely has the great aesthetics. The other thing that kind of sold me on it is I was watching someone do like kind of a you know, preview, you know, some gameplay. And they, you know, are working their way through this town, and they're like, "Wait, what was that jingling? Oh, that's I don't know. I think like a watcher or something. I need to be careful." And I am a sucker for like games where you have to learn the tells of enemies, like that. So that was the thing to me. That's like, all right, I'm pulling the trigger.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, the only other thing I've been playing, maybe tag team with Dennis, because I reinstalled Darktide.
Oh.
Yes, indeed.
Was there new content for the Warhammer Darktide?
Sorry, I'm laughing because yes, there is. There's new class. I bought the new class and they have proceeded to not play it whatsoever. they've also, when the game came out, it was a complete game, but not complete enough compared to like the previous games in the series, and most notably, the skill trees were very basic and kind of one trick pony for each class.
I don't think they even existed. I have no memory of a skill tree in the original.
They might
version.
Not have existed. That is very possible.
I play it being, hey, this is a Vermintide alike that is nowhere nearly as fully featured as Vermintide. Like this is like you can't jump from one to the other and have a comparable experience.
Right, exactly. And so they've since added extensive class trees that are actually some of the I'm enjoying them, some of the most I've enjoyed of any game like this.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that I really like about it is a lot of games where you have skill trees, you'll have, relatively minor skills, and then add a couple of points through the tree, kind of the big skills that really define a build. In this case, the big skills are, what is your active ability? What is your aura that, you provide to other teammates that are nearby? What is your grenade? And then what is your capstone ability? And the capstone abilities are all passives that, kind of significantly change the game. So, like, I'm playing the soldier class, and the capstone I'm currently using, I basically deal bonus damage to any enemy that I've tagged. And before that, tag is something you should still do because you can call out powerful enemies to your friends, but there's no actual advantage to it.
Mm-hmm.
But more interested the other abilities in particular because... initially, at least as far as I remember, for most of the classes, the grenades were different for each class, but they were all fairly grenade-y, whereas they've leaned much more into, like, unless you're playing the soldier, there's a very good chance that your grenade is not actually a grenade.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you play the Psyker, the Psionic class, your grenade is basically your spell. And so it's either like a charge up ability that can cause an enemy's head to explode. It's heat seeking throwing knives, or it's basically like Sith lightning.
Okay.
You're just doing the Palpatine.
Right, exactly. On the other hand, like if you're playing the Ogryn, you can go with just a giant freaking grenade, but you can also go with a box of grenades where you literally throw the entire box, and it deals a ton of damage, and if you hit, the box will break and then the grenades will go off, or you can simply go with straight up a rock.
Okay.
Where you're just throwing a rock at someone. And, like, in that case...
40,000 years of human history has led to this.
Exactly.
Nothing beats rock.
Well, and kind of the cool thing, though, with that is, like, unlike the rest of the grenades, at least for the Ogryn class, like, you have to actually find grenades in the level, whereas the rock, it's just, like, every minute, if you've used up your rock, you, like, just pick something else up, and that's now your new rock.
Mm-hmm.
This is like my kids when we go hiking.
Yeah. Exactly. I also love there's all of these special abilities have modifications you can spend points in, and I love there's a one of them for the rock where if you get a headshot with the rock, it doesn't consume it. And the ability is just called "that one didn't count."
Okay.
Which I just kind of like. But yeah, so so basically, you know, much more diversity in you know, how you can play the characters. A lot of the characters do a much better job now of you know, playing off of other players. So for example, you know, some of the ores can do things like there's ones that will significantly decrease the rate at which or how long it takes for a special ability to recharge. And you can, if you want to, you can build your entire character around that. And then one, that makes you powerful. But then if you group up with someone that has really specialized in having a really strong ability, then you make them just incredibly powerful. You know, similarly, like the Ogryn now can very much spec as a tank, which, I know Dennis has run into this. It's kind of funny. The Ogryns are literally ogres. They mm-hmm. are mutant humans that are just huge. They are about half again as tall as every other player and at least twice, if not three times as wide. Which is funny because, like, them getting in the way of your shots is actually very much a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you have, you
and
have
there
to
is
play
friendly fire.
Them.
But at least to me, it's one of those things, like, I would not want to play on a team where everyone was an Ogryn. But, like, with one person, it becomes, like, an endearing feature rather than a bug.
Is there friendly fire? I mean, it, like, does
yes,
it?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Yeah.
I've never, like, had it make a noticeable difference in my health mm-hmm. Being on the receiving end. So I think it's got to have some kind of, like, mitigating modifier on it.
Yeah, I know it ramps up the higher your difficulty is.
Yeah, that could also be a factor.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they put their thumb on the scale in terms of, like, how it happens. Because I have noticed it feels like things that aren't as directly under your control. So, for example, like Force Lightning, where it's just jumping around all over the place. It doesn't seem like that does friendly fire. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, maybe the Ogryns, you know, programmed either not to take or to take much less of it, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, just their physical stature would intuit that they take less damage.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
They take less damage because there is more of them.
Exactly. And they, I would not be shocked if that was literally a voice line in the game. that's kind of the other, one of the other big things that's very endearing about this game is, you know, the Vermintide or whatever you want to call these, the Tide games have always had a big element of, like, the characters bickering and, you know, commentating on what's going on, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at least to me, early on, that seemed a little weak in this one, partially because you're creating your own characters as opposed to them having, like, an established personality.
Mm-hmm.
However, it feels to me, I don't know if it's just maybe they added more voice lines or tightened things up, or I'm not sure, but it feels like a lot better now. You know, when you do character creation, you are asked a series of questions about your character's history, and that determines both their overall, like, personality, which is, you know, what voice do they use and kind of what's the overall tone they use, but then also will influence, like, the characters will comment either on their, you know, own background or, like, other characters' backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a, a lot of interesting things, especially because you can get some characters that kind of play against type. You can have your Ogryn, for example, just be like me, angry, smashy person.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have him just be like super friendly, like team player, or fairly intelligent.
Okay.
So that can create just some fun, fun different stuff.
And that just colors the barks, right? Like that doesn't unlock different. Okay.
No. My favorite so far is the Ogryn saying like, I like boulders. I like bashing, mostly things that start with B. And the friend's like, oh, that's good to have a focus, I guess. Nope, that doesn't start with B.
Oh, yeah. Bailiwick, yep. I think, would be the way.
Yes.
They also have a bunch of different people that can be kind of your controller for the mission. And those are very fun, especially because this being 40K, like, everyone's kind of an asshole.
Right.
But they're all assholes in their own unique way. I think my favorite is Hadron, who is a tech priest, who's very, very much the, like, assume everyone is more stupid than they are type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, very, very, very intelligent, or, intelligently, sorry, very, very well-written examples of that. Like, my favorite is, one of the mission types, you have to, you're basically doing a hack, and every so often it will be, mess up, and you have to, like, play a mini game, to restart it. And just, like, one of her lines is, like, I can only assume that you just pressed every button until it started working again. So just, yeah, very, very good. Also, Dennis, you pointed out, what is it? They just, every single, like, mission objective is just the most gratuitous, like, way of describing that.
Yeah.
Because I forget, like, what do they call hacking? Like, they
yeah, you don't some... you don't hack into the system, you interrogate it.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
makes what amounts to flipping a switch sound very metal.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a lot of fun, and I really feel like they managed to get the tone right in a way they hadn't previously.
Not a good flavor, like mm-hmm. like hadn't previously, like in previous iterations of this game, or
yes, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. It was one of those things, like, you could always see what they were going for, and it was cool, but it felt like it just didn't quite come together, in my opinion.
Okay. It came together after a while. It's a
right,
effort,
exactly.
special effort to make it come together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, an early entry in the launch a not game and then just, keep on updating it until it's a game category.
Yeah. Just the way it is.
Play 2-year-old games. They're actually games.
Yep. Now.
Sometimes.
Wow. Sometimes.
Oh. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about Darktide, Dennis?
No, I think Moxie covered it, so got it in my interjections.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Did we have any particularly notable shenanigans we got into this time? I did enjoy falling off the stage was a surprisingly common, like, need to be rescued for us for some reason.
Yeah. Which is, it's a kindness that if you fall into a bottomless pit, you just grab onto the edge and someone pulls you up.
Yeah. Dennis, what else have you been playing?
What else have I been playing? I got another little mobile tip for y'all. a platforming game called Chameleon, where kind of the gimmick to it is that you can change color as you jump, and you have to match the color of the platform you land on, otherwise you will explode.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, not good.
Just there's, like real chameleons.
Yeah, yeah. There's a real, real hatred of non-matching going on here.
What was this called?
Chameleon.
Okay. For iOS?
Correct, yeah. On Apple Arcade. Mm-hmm. And I liked it because of the difficulty level. So it is very tricky platforming. And you kind of just that one extra like button of change color in addition to jump. There's two colors that you switch back and forth between. But really messes with your head, and you kind of have to learn a whole new rhythm to make sure you're doing the right thing at the right time. And there's very much a sense of like learning a level as you play through. Mm-hmm. It's a small game. So there are only, I think, like 16 total levels.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, four of them seem to be like some kind of seasonal addition to the game. So I don't know what the story is there or if they'll be making more levels. But certainly each level is difficult enough to give you a good amount of playtime to master.
Mm-hmm.
There's three objectives for each level. There's two different types of collectibles, and generally you have to take a different route to be able to get all of either type. And so it kind of pushes you to find multiple ways through the level. And then the final objective is always to finish the level without switching colors.
Oh.
And it's kind of, they kind of cheat, because when you do that version of the level, there are more blocks put in.
They kind of create a path for you.
Exactly. That are not there in the regular version of the level. And so it kind of feels like it's the easiest objective to complete. And it just kind of feels like, why, you know, it's nice to get a little check on that box, I guess. But, when you're changing the level, sometimes significantly, to accommodate this new goal, it ceases to feel like an extra objective and just starts to feel like padding, which is a weird thing to say about a very short game, you know? Go figure on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can get into a real good flow state when you do, get the timing of everything right. And the game is like weirdly well animated. It's just a little blocky dude, like a Rayman type running through the level. But the way he like backflips and spins and lands and everything just looks really good in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of see where the skill set of the developers lives in making this little jump around thing that could effectively be Geometry Dash look really cool as it's going.
This is the full name of this game is Chameleon Run. This is made by Noodle Cake, which is
correct.
Longtime game developer. Like these are the Super Stickman Golf people.
Shit. Okay, I knew I recognized the name from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've done a bunch of stuff, but that's kind of the thing that I most mm-hmm. you know. So Noodle Cake is the publisher is what it is. There we go. I need to actually see who developed this. A visual touch that I like on this is your character leaves kind of a cartoon cloud of smoke behind them. And it changes color when you change color. So like you can see in the air, like, you know, the exact point when you switched. I have no idea how useful that will be, but
mostly it's like, right there is where I fucked up.
Yes. Yeah.
There is an interesting element. So when you change color, you do a little spin. And if you do that right before you hit the ground, so like change to the right color at the last second, it gives you a little speed boost. And there's a timer running on all these levels, so like you're trying to get through them as fast as possible. But I actively avoided it because it threw off my groove, man. It throws off the flow. It throws off your timing. So if you're learning a level and you expect to kind of need to tap in this rhythm to get through, and then suddenly you're getting a speed boost on top of that, it 9 out of 10 times led to immediate death.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, I finished the game and got all those objectives that I described for each level. There is a like get faster times like system going on there where you try
to get faster times as the newspaper Sonic reads. Sorry.
Yes. And I had no interest in doing that just because the whole dealing with the speed boost on top of already very difficult levels, mm-hmm. Would just be untenable.
Yeah.
But yeah, had my fun with it. And if you got Apple Arcade, it's worth checking out.
Yeah. The developer on this is Hyperbolic Magnetism. It was published by Noodlecake. Noodlecake does happen to be the developer on Super Stickman Golf. So that's where I got confused.
Aha.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chameleon Run.
Important question. Does it have more choices?
No, it does not. Thank God.
Because, I mean, if it did, then you could, you know, do a bunch of good deeds and become a karma chameleon.
Oh. It's all it's all pretty black and white, by which I mean pink and yellow.
Yes. Yeah. They got to do a Beat Saber thing where you can like customize what the two colors are.
Oh, yeah.
For that personal touch. I also, unless there's other questions about that one.
No.
I finished Kaizen, A Factory Story.
Oh, shoot.
Cool.
This is the Zachtronics game. You know, basically placing and programming machine parts to create toys, electronics, and other goods. Love letter to 1980s Japan culture. And just a very sweet and small story through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
It was just nice, you know. The puzzles, brutally difficult.
Right.
And I've never spent so much time going, it's one fucking square. Where do I put this? but then, you know, surrounded by just a very, heartfelt and cute little story,
mm-hmm.
Which is more than I expected to see. I think I compared this to Magnum Opus last time.
Opus Magnum.
Opus Magnum, really?
Yeah.
Are we sure it's not Magnum Opus?
Magnum Opus is the actual phrase people use. Opus Magnum is the name of the game.
Yep.
Hmm.
Can't confirm.
Damn it.
The great work.
Yeah. Anyway, with that one, I think there was story, but it was in like very skippable text boxes.
Mm-hmm.
This has a little more art around it and is presented more, Visinov style.
Mm-hmm.
Which I appreciated. It didn't get in the way too much. And, you know, they did a good enough job with the characters, making them relatable and making you care about them that, it worked. My one huge complaint is that, one of the things that you build is a pachinko machine.
Okay.
Or like a, what's it called? It's like a solitaire pachinko. It's some portmanteau of those words. But like basically a little like marble arcade game. And this is right in the area where a lot of stuff was just physical versus, electronic screens. And so, kind of akin to pinball, just without flippers, you're trying to like pull the plunger and match the tiles, kind of deal. And you get to play different variants of this in many of the cities that you go to. And, it's got different machines. I imagine kind of like how slot machines have different variants. And then eventually you build one in your factory.
Okay.
And it never lets you play the one you build.
Man, that's
the most obvious layup of like, okay, I made this thing. I literally was like, oh, I can't wait. Cause the next section is definitely going to be a pachinko game.
Uh-huh.
And it never happened.
Well, that's a bummer.
That's weird because they've done stuff like that in previous games. Like, Exapunks had, you could get a little, like arcade game and, you know, make your own games and stuff.
It's odd to the point. I almost want to assume that I'm the one missing something.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the level select is pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of places it could hide. So yeah, maybe if it's in there and I just missed it, someone tell me, cause I'd love to play it. And otherwise, it is a high recommend from me.
Okay. So that one thing aside, this is.
Yes. Like, which is very possibly user error.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part of this, though, is the gifts that you get to like actually, you know, save an animated version of the machine or whatever.
I've just got a desktop full of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I thought you said gifts, and you would be right to say that because kind of a punctuation mark on every factory that you go work at, which are all in different cities around Japan, is the person that you're working under will give you a gift related to that area. So it's a fun little like, oh, hey, this district is kind of like the, you know, denim is more popular in America, but in this district, it's kind of known for making really high quality denim. So here's,
I mean,
jeans or
Japan is where like most high quality denim comes from.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Or like, hey, here's a tea set. Cause this region is known for their tea or, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, just all these nice, really, heartfelt touches. I keep using that word. It makes me wonder like who from the Zachtronics team like worked over there or had an experience like this. Cause it feels very personal.
Mm. It sounds exceedingly charming to me.
Yes. Yeah. Well worth your time.
Nice.
And very fun to puzzle over. Mm-hmm. I've got one more. Oh, go ahead.
I suggest, The guy who's, I don't know, you know, started Zachtronics, is it just Zach? I know.
One assumes?
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the main guys, his name was Zach, but yeah.
But yep. Has anyone followed up? Like, I know at one point it's like his dream was to become like a high school teacher, teaching programming, and like he got the job. And so I wondered, like, has anyone heard anything more? Is he presumably still, like, teaching high school somewhere?
That was the last that I heard, but...
No. Like, he was involved in making Kaizen. So, I mean, it's not under the label Zachtronics, but, yeah.
Yeah, from the Zachtronics team, or the original Zachtronics team, or what have you.
It's not like... Tom Clancy is somehow still making games despite being dead.
Yeah, it's not that. No. What's your last game, Dennis?
Yeah, fine. I'm going to hold off on talking too much about it, but in now having a good controller again and looking at games that I want to get back into with that, I have started up playing Elden Ring again.
Okay.
So I just finished... was it Stormveil Castle? Beat Godric the Grafted and kind of working my way towards the next big point of interest.
This is your first time doing all this stuff, right?
I started very close to when the game came out.
Okay.
I did a dex build with the like claw hands, the Wolverine weapon. And basically like two-handed that. And at some point, I forget what distracted me, but I think there was another big game release and then I lost momentum on it and kind of never finished it. So I came back this time and realized I don't think I've ever done a playthrough really focusing on like high int and like casting. So I'm giving that a try. I went with the astronomer class and had just been firing off spells left and right. To make my way through.
Sorcery can be very overpowered. So you might find yourself having a pretty, not easy time with it, but an easier time than when you were rolling claws.
Yes, absolutely. That's been the case. There's a little bit of an element of, you know, like if there's a very aggressive enemy that gets on top of you, then I kind of like get frazzled because it's usually so easy to take people out from a distance.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, that is more me panicking than a huge weakness of the class because anyone, you know, an enemy being on top of any build in Dark Souls is dangerous territory.
Yeah. Yeah.
I found a rapier. It's, what's the sorcerer's name?
Rogier.
Rogier, yeah. His rapier is really high quality. He gave it to me, and I've been using that, and that is an excellent kind of backup plan. Made of magic, so it scales with int, and that's served me well as well.
You were going to ask a question, Moxie?
Oh, I was just going to ask, is that one that scales off of int?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not by default, but when you upgrade and change the what is it, sword ashes or
the war, ash of war on ashes?
Yeah, ash of war. Thank you. It's so nice to talk about this game with Kay here because like I don't have to worry about remembering the terms.
Nope, I am here for you.
Does this game Does the game ever have any, for lack of a better word, just like weird weapons?
Oh God, yeah.
That play off of like, you know, any of the stats or I don't know, you know, get into any of the Bloodborne style.
I mean, there are no I was about to say there are no transforming weapons. There are weapons that let you take a stance before you attack, which kind of, you know, effectively does the same thing. Where weapons get weird is in the weapon arts or the weapon skills, rather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I never used those.
Yeah. Yeah. So like those consume your focus points, but usually not very much. And there's really powerful stuff that you can find in there. Yeah.
Well, in my experience so far is to basically use the War Ashes as a extra spell slot.
Yes. Yeah.
So instead of a weapon art, you can just have it, you know, cast a spell. And frequently I've had spells as a War Ash that I have not had as a spell. Mm-hmm. So I can cast it through the weapon, but I don't have it for my staff yet.
It's a way to give yourself something like approximating like the faith buffs. Things like that. It really just depends.
Yeah.
Are you using the summons at all?
Not
human summons, but like the little companion summons.
Yep. Jellyfish is bae.
Yes.
I summon in the wolves and then I always regret it. I don't know. Something comforting about having a jellyfish.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I use this primarily if I'm up against a boss or a more difficult enemy. There's not a lot of times where I'll call it in for, like, you know, just going through a level.
Yeah, yeah. They're, you know.
But very, very handy. It just kind of worked out that as I went through the first couple of bosses, I always was able to kind of spend down my souls so that I wasn't too worried about losing them as I was fighting the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's quite the burden to run in and like, I got to get back to my souls.
Yeah, every time. You don't want your first encounter with a boss to be with full pockets. Yeah.
Exactly. Until I finally, Elden Ring does what Elden Ring does, and I followed a glowing ghost into a cave that had a drop off that led to a snail filled sideways, and then suddenly I'm fighting a bloodhound knight that's hyper aggressive and kills me.
Uh-huh.
And I drop like 15,000 souls in his boss room.
Mm-hmm.
And the run up from the campfire, like there's no campfire directly in front of him, so the run up gives me another, you know, a couple thousand souls every time, and so I'm currently locked in to that boss. I fell into that trap once, so I got Dark Souls'd. It's going to be so sweet when I finally claim those souls and beat the boss, or so hard when I get killed. Mm-hmm. But then I won't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
The other thing that's impressive, you know, I was pretty exploratory the first time I played. Like really kind of poked myself into every nook and cranny, or so I thought, and then almost immediately started discovering new areas on this second playthrough.
There's a lot, especially in Liurnia, where angle you approach does a lot to change what like you're gonna find. Like just like what's visible because of the geometry.
Or just some stuff is even locked behind an imp statue, which you need a key for. Mm-hmm. And I would like see someone be like, okay, mental note, got to come back to that when I've got a key. And then I just forget to come back ever. And so
are you leaving map markers for yourself? Because that is a way you can manage that.
Yes. I've started doing that. Definitely not as much as I should. And there's a little bit to which it's like, okay, I know how far I got last time. I want to try to get back to that point and then I'll kind of slow down.
Mm-hmm.
But I am definitely placing markers on the map and you kind of decide what each symbol means to you, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like literally just outside the tutorial area, there's a whole section that I'd missed the first time around.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you don't have unless you take it as a gift, you don't have the key that you need to open it.
Exactly. Yep.
That's the one where you're just being like chased down a series of hallways.
Yeah, that's the hero's grave where you get obliterated by a chariot.
The horse rolling pin.
that played a significant portion towards me being like, yep, I'm done with this game.
you just come back. Like there's a trick to it.
Yep. That was ultimately where I landed. So I kind of figured out like, oh, okay, he doesn't switch to the new area until I do. So I time it with when the horse is going you know, the other direction, and that'll buy me as much time as I need. But then I decided to explore other stuff. You know how you do in an open world game is you just, what's that? Oh, what's that? Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know,
yeah.
Traipse your way through. I also discovered a whole new area. The aforementioned cave with the bloodhound knight that's currently eating my lunch.
Yeah. Crystal Lake cave.
That,
yeah.
Never seen that before. Even just kind of like the base under the mage school. Mm-hmm. Like I'd never really explored that. And there wasn't anything like revolutionary there, mm-hmm. but it's still just like, oh, I'm naturally like, I'm not overtly setting out to find new stuff. I'm just stumbling into new stuff as I play. So mm-hmm. that is a very fun way to experience a Dark Souls game.
I haven't thought about it till now, but the characters in the cave underneath there kind of look like the Burger King mascot.
the sages of Raya Lucaria with their weird stone helmet head things
yeah.
do look a lot like the Burger King.
Wait, so that's not apt. The one you can get as a helmet, like the little goblin stone goblin things.
What?
No, it's not. I wouldn't describe them as goblins.
Oh, what? The gargoyles.
Yeah, no, you're thinking of the imps that you find in the catacombs. Different things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these are like kind of human-sized casters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to decide if I, because I never sprung for the DLC because I never finished the base game.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've heard, incidentally, it feels like the DLC is very much oriented towards people who have, you know, gotten through the base game.
Yeah, it's late game, post game kind of stuff.
Exactly. So I think I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. If I come to it, I hope I can. But yeah, back mm-hmm. on my Elden Ring bullshit.
Cool. Yeah. Hope you enjoy mm-hmm. it.
So far, so good.
Yeah. Ben, what you been playing?
Oof. I got a couple of shout outs, I guess, first of things that I've already talked about. I continued playing City of Six Moons. That was a good game to play on a train to Portland. Mm-hmm. Figured out a few more things from the game, but this is like, for people who didn't listen to last week's episode, this is a weird game where it's all like in an alien language.
Oh, yeah.
You don't actually play the game. You have to try and figure out the rules to play the game, and then maybe you can play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just doing that probably looked like a weirdo on the train doing that. But
translating your zodiac letters.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that I'm still getting enjoyment out of that, and I enjoy doing that kind of like solitarily as well. I think at a certain point, I'll probably. Not necessarily go and look up all the answers, but maybe ask other people who've played the game and see like what they've found. Cause I think a couple of people at my work have played this. But anyway, I still enjoy that. That is it is a nice thing that I feel like, there's not many instances of in the world where it's like a puzzle waiting to be solved and it seems reasonable to solve it, that sort of thing. So, anyway, beyond that, I was also going to give a shout out to, I played Dune Imperium, the board game. I think I've talked about this on this podcast before, mm-hmm. but it's a board game that has the IP. It's made in part through Legendary Pictures. So it has all the artwork from like the movies that have come out. So like mm-hmm. you can play.
It's weird to just see Zendaya on a card.
Exactly. Yeah. You can play as Timothy Chalamet if you want. But the game itself is like a pretty solid game. It's like worker placement, but also a deck builder, which was kind of popular the year that it came out. But it's a good implementation of it. It was just a base game. They have two expansions. Haven't played those. But anyway, fun experience. I'm going to move on from that. The one game I was going to talk about, and I played this a little bit ago, but I'm not sure if I've talked about it on the podcast. Have I talked about Date Everything?
Yes,
you have not talked about Date Everything. I do not believe. Okay.
All right. So I played the demo for this game. I don't believe it's out yet.
It's out. It's out.
Oh, okay. Then it is out. The premise of this game is that you are in a house. It's kind of like has like a tongue in cheek, like comedy sort of writing to it. But the premise of the game is that you get these special glasses where you can date anything, any item that is in your house. And mm-hmm. so when you interact with it, it is personified, and then it is a dating game. So you can try and woo or antagonize any of the items in your house.
Okay.
So, to give an example, let's go with you. I think believe your toilet is a French man who's very snooty, and
oh no,
you can either try to urinate on that person or woo them or whatever you want to do.
Okay.
so how long is it before Steam kicks this game out
for being good question? Yeah, it does explicitly like ask you if you want to play an NSFW version or a non-NSFW version. But I don't think or at least as far as I played, it's not like in your face graphic or anything like this. And then maybe to qualify all this is I don't typically play dating games. This was recommended by one of my friends. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I would try it out. It's, I think one of the more interesting aspects of it is it's the voice acting is really strong in this game. I think it's like 100 different voice actors. I think maybe even the game developer might have been a voice actor as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of care is paid towards that aspect of the game. Yeah, another, like you can woo your door, and your door is personified as a person.
So when you say personified, like they actually turn into like the people.
Yes.
That are kind of themed after what their deal is. It's not like yeah. you sticking your dick in a toaster like got me kicked out of the Value City.
Correct. Yes. So whatever you interact with, there's a personified version of it, and that's who you're talking to in the dating simulator aspect. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of gated where it's like you can only have 4 conversations per day, and you can kind of advance your relationship status with whatever items or people you're interacting with. Mm-hmm. It's just a really goofy game. So I don't know. It feels like it's a more like normie game, even for people if they're not big into dating simulators, because it's just more like comedic. But yeah, I don't know. I played it for an hour or two, thought it was interesting, if nothing else. But
Is there an overarching plot? Like, are you trying to get out of the house or...
The introduction to the game, before you start getting into the dating sim aspect, there is like plot beats of like, I'll just say it since it's not a huge spoiler. It's like you have an online job that you're doing that you also quit. And then you get a drone which delivers you the thing that will give you the magic sunglasses so that you can interact with everything, including okay. the sunglasses themselves, I believe. Mm-hmm. So there does seem to be like a sort of narrative going there. I'm not sure how that branches as far as you like being able to interact with everything. I believe it gets kind of complicated because of the option space of like where you put your progress, and there's like so many items across the house. But yeah, I'm not sure how they manage the meta narrative because I haven't played that far.
Yeah,
but
I feel like we need to do a multiplayer, like, what video game item would you most want to date?
Yeah, it gets weird with some of them.
I already like, talked about the jellyfish in Elden Ring, so
it's not an item.
There's like to give some but more like tongue cheek, to give some more tongue in cheek humor examples. You can like talk to your bed, and so that's kind of like ironic or awkward since you're already sleeping on the bed. So okay. it's like it's already like,
so if you consummate with the plunger, is that technically a threesome because the bed is involved?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Haven't played that far, so
okay. All right. A lot of questions you're not equipped to answer, Ben.
I know. Look, I only played the demo, so but it's a weird game. It's interesting. It's out there for people if they're into dating sims. So I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Mm-hmm. So. Sweet. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. I'll do mine. I alluded to this last week, but I have played a little bit further into the 100 Line Last Defense Academy. The new game.
That's a name.
It is. This is the new game from the Danganronpa and Zero Escape guys. The idea is that you and a bunch of people who live in the Tokyo residential complex, like a domed over version of Tokyo, kind of sealed off from the outside world, are kind of whisked away when strange creatures attack. And you are taken to this school that is isolated. The creatures are trying to attack it. And if they get in, all of humanity ends. And each of you who was abducted for this kind of gets powers when you're on the battlefield because of, you know, weird magic blood stuff that they have.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have 100 days. You're trying to defend the school. The, invaders attack and you play out the battles by, doing like turn-based tactical grid combat is what you're doing here. And each of the characters that you have has like a particular, you know, set of, I did not mean to do Liam Neeson with that. I did not mean to go full Taken. They have a particular set of skills. No, like different attacks, different patterns, and like different kind of passive abilities. Like one of them like gets more armor the further he moves before attacking, you know? And, you know, each of them kind of, you know, through their abilities implies a particular kind of use case for them. And the thing is, not everybody who has taken there with you at the start is willing to fight. Only like 3 or 4 of you are at the beginning. So like in between the battles, you know, on the kind of non-combat days, you're like trying to convince the other people who are there to join in the fight, to try and make things a little bit easier. And that's how you kind of recruit and gain more people to come along with you.
Do you have a finite party size?
I have not discovered that yet. Okay. You know, like the most that I have had in a battle at a time is 4. And that seemed like plenty to me, for like the party loadout, but I do not know how much bigger the battles get. Yeah. This is, so you have 100 days, and like something that they talked about is they wanted to just completely overload it with, like routes through it. So apparently there are just, like they say there are 100 endings in this, and the idea is like, oh, you play through and then kind of like in Virtue's Last Reward or any of these other ones, you can like go back at different places on the timeline and make different decisions to see how differently things shake out.
Are the decisions like informed by like who you're navigating to join your party and like,
yeah.
And the like, order that you're choosing them.
You're siding with different people based on how much of their story, they encounter. Basically like you're in this place. The only like interface that you have is a little, character who is legally distinct from Monokuma, but not very legally distinct from Monokuma.
Mama.
Yeah. Like you have very incomplete information about what's going on. He's not telling you a whole bunch. So like, just like any of these, the whole overall plot and what's really happening is a, you know, is a mystery. Like I don't have even like, I don't know, a small percentage of the answers yet. You know, so like, as you side with different people and pull at different threads, that is the way that it apparently will lead you to different endings. I don't know that I like the idea that you have to play through all 100 days 100 times. I'm not feeling 10,000 days of this. but I don't think that's going to be how it happens.
All right.
Yeah. The battle, so like the, like in addition to the different characters having different like areas of effect and different passive things, like something that's fun is to like kind of build in momentum to the fights is you have flesh meter that you fill up by attacking and taking attacks, and you can use that to like power up individual attacks, or use like a special one-time attack if you need to, or do like extra moves in the AP based kind of battle system there. So like there are different strategies you can use to kind of like maximize voltage gain, so where you're not doing like a ton of damage with everybody, but you are trying to feed that to somebody who can really make use of it in the given situation. Like, for being two directors who have not made very mechanically involved games, recently, in the past, mostly like visual novel kind of things, this does have a good amount of mechanical rigor to it in the battle, like the tactical fights, which is neat.
Do the people's abilities, like, are they able to like synergize with one another, or like using two or more of them like are more than some of their parts?
I've not encountered a way that you get them to act like with each other or act by proximity, but there are ones that like they have kind of complementary areas that they can attack around them. So you can like go and set enemies up basically for combos. Which is good. I don't know, as more characters are added, if you don't like have like a Fire Emblem kind of thing where you get closer to somebody and then you unlock like new attacks that are like team techs, like you would get in Fire Emblem or Chrono Trigger, right?
Yeah, I was thinking more of like a person who like is like Gas Man and can, and then another person who's like Fire Person, you know?
Oh yeah. To do like a Divinity Original Sin kind of thing where you like, you make somebody susceptible to one status. So somebody can come in and fire that off. Nothing like that that I've seen so far.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And that's my spiel on it. It's neat. The characters have a lot of the same problems that a Danganronpa cast of characters is going to have. There are like three of them that are tolerable at the start. Everybody else is just really fundamentally flawed in a way that makes them unpleasant to be around. Whether or not they eventually become endearing is up to it, but you've got to have a certain amount of tolerance for that to get through to that point. I mean, any questions about 100 Line?
No. It's cool to see a Danganronpa game with a little more technical or a mechanical rigor to it.
A little bit more grit. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Well, that's all I got.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah. And this one was pseudo inspired by Ben. So thank you, Ben. asking about who would make for the best, by which I mean funniest or trolliest, real-life casting of a video game character.
Yeah. And I will get started with Gwen, who says, even though he's dead, M. Emmett Walsh could play Geralt. Now, I only know M. Emmett Walsh from the thing that I most know him for is there's an episode of Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories where he acts as a detective trying to hunt down Bob Odenkirk, who is a doctor who cuts off and eats people's toes.
Oh no.
But he was in Blade Runner. He's been a character actor with a distinct appearance. I think that actually might just be, people would be disappointed that it'd be Geralt, but he's a charismatic actor, if not extremely frightening looking.
Yeah. he could make himself menacing, but in general, he just looks like a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And then shout out, he's really great in Blood Simple, the Coen Brothers first movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Ben, what does Threnza say?
Is Threnza Wanwick as well?
No, I was going to pull from, I'm sending it to the blue sky. I'll pull all from right.
Got it. Yeah. Threnza says Paris Hilton for Samus Aran in the live action Metroid movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Girl power.
So famously not a very good actor, a terrible fit for Samus Aran. However, Paris Hilton, a kind of a force for good. Like, yeah, she was in with the NFT kind of things, but at the very least, she like has started using her clout to try and go after teen reform camps, which are basically just conversion therapy, where parents have their kids abducted and taken to a camp to be abused and starved and stuff.
Jeez. There's a couple good redemption arcs going on for celebrities of our youth that are doing much better than circumstances would have you expect.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Max?
I know Paris Hilton was at Pride here this year.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I don't know an awful lot else.
Was she in a Samus cosplay?
Yeah.
So I have to say, the only time I have heard of anything about this story or personality of Samus was what was the
other M where she's weirdly subservient. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like. That I know, I feel like that is my understanding of who Samus's character is, which I think might not be normal.
Somebody's gonna come screaming at me, but Samus doesn't really have a character, so yeah, not a lot of dialogue or characterization for her other than what the player does. Yeah,
so sometimes you just want to play as a murder machine, and that's cool.
Yeah. Moxie, what does Strawberry Jam say?
Strawberry Jam says, I personally cannot wait for the Phoebe Waller-Bridge Metroid Prime/Fusion movies to show what everyone wants, an awkward, talkative Samus.
More Metroid stuff.
Yeah.
Ben, as the movie knower, who is Phoebe Waller-Bridge?
I believe she's Fleabag.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Who is Fleabag?
It's a British, originally it was a one-woman show that she did, but she turned it into a TV show that was on the BBC, and it went two seasons. So you would hear a lot about Samus's sex life if this was a thing.
Mm. You know how hard it is to get this suit off?
Let's see. Dennis, what does Pint of Bovril say?
Oh, this is a good one. Pint of Bovril says, Tom Hanks as Duke Nukem. and then shows Forrest Gump waving happily.
Yeah.
This got me thinking, what is the most arrogant machismo character that Tom Hanks has played? There's really
that,
not
that
one.
Fucker from the Polar Express. So he had a few roles in the 90s that were him being arrogant, bullheaded guy types. Think Bachelor Party. Right? That has him kind of being a misogynist. But that's not especially a misogynist. It's 80s sex comedy misogynist.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did he ever do any action or villain or anything like that?
He plays the villain in the Baz Luhrmann Elvis musical.
Yeah.
Good call.
And is very good in it. But I don't think that's quite Duke Nukem.
Yeah, he's not an action star. The closest that he gets to that is his war movies. Your Gump's Forest and your Brothers, Band of. Sorry, no.
Your Private Ryan's, Saving.
Yeah. Yes.
Your Private's Ryan.
Yeah. Let's see. Rookie says, Wallace Shawn as GLaDOS. Might as well throw in Andre the Giant as Cave Johnson and Robin Wright as Wheatley to complete the set. Wallace Shawn as anybody would knock it out of the fucking park.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a mod for that, right?
What a treasure. What a treasure that man is. Yeah.
That's a good pairing too with GLaDOS.
Uh-huh.
and he posted a picture of GLaDOS shouting inconceivable.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. The last of the listener responses. What does RJ Sebastian say?
RJ Sebastian says Christopher Walken as Uncle Wolfgang in Gabriel Knight, Sins of the Fathers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to need context for this one.
Wolfgang, I need to make sure. Gabriel Knight Wolfgang. I believe that is the villain. Oh, no. Yeah. Wolfgang Ritter is is Gabriel Knight's dad. Not much of a, like, not much of a character. He is just a, like, he is a guy who, like, has kind of, like, hidden the family lineage of being Schattenjagers, like, monster hunters, basically, from Gabriel. And, like, a lot of the first game is, like, you know, taking up that mantle and figuring out how to be one of those. Yeah, so not necessarily.
I'm pretty good with Christopher Walken in anything, honestly.
Yeah. I think that might just be. I don't know how that would be a mismatch, actually. Yeah,
Foo Fighters.
Did he introduce the Foo Fighters on SNL? Is that the...
Yeah, there's a video of Dave Grohl doing that. Yeah,
gotcha. I'm going to say for mine, I want Tilda Swinton to play Harrier Dubois from Disco Elysium.
Ooh.
Not gonna lie. I would support Tilda Swinton playing anyone.
I don't think she would be bad. I think that would piss a lot of people off, and that would be, I don't know. I want to pair a good actor with a role that will confuse people but still be good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let someone really stretch their range.
Yeah, like if it was just going to be shitty, it'd be like, Seth Rogen is this guy. LV is a real piece of shit. Yeah. No.
The movie Suspiria has Tilda Swinton in three different roles, and it still does not have enough Tilda Swinton in the movie.
She's a chameleon. She's great. Yeah. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, my answer is like, take like a really famous like icon from a game, let's just say like Master Chief, and then cast it as a nobody to troll the audience members.
Mm-hmm. They did that with the Halo television show, I believe. Yep. The joke you're making.
Yep.
But like, isn't the idea that he's not like a super special or charismatic guy?
He's like, got a charismatic voice.
Yeah.
You don't need to go like
lead you into battle.
Yeah.
Moxie, how about you?
So I think there's two ways I go. Like the obvious one, so the problem is I don't know movies.
Okay.
But so just take whoever MAGA would most want to see as a character and like cast a gay black woman or something.
Mm-hmm.
That would be number one. Or alternately, I think like someone like Shatner as Revolver Ocelot. Basically, I want someone with a very weird speech cadence delivering Kojima dialogue.
I want Richard Kind as as Revolver Ocelot. Yeah, I think that would be great.
Something like Ben Stein as Otacon.
Something, yeah.
Maybe to help you out with the brainstorming, I had the realization that Hunter Biden is the equivalent of Donald Trump for the like pissing off the opposite political party with like every action that they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or AOC for female roles. Although you could also put Hunter Biden in a female role. I'm sure they would lose their shit accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're just trying to piss them off. See, the thing is they're not hard to piss off. Like
so the list of people that you can cast without pissing them off is very small.
Yeah. It's like arguing about which gun you want to use to shoot fish in a barrel. Like I think any of them is going to get the job done.
Mm.
Yeah.
The one that is a ticking time bomb, for like sooner or later, this is going to happen is, The God Emperor of Mankind in 40K is canonically not white.
Oh, yeah.
And just, I don't see Games Workshop, if they ever make an adaptation, you know, not casting someone who's not white. Mm-hmm. And that's going to piss so many people off.
Right. So the fascists who are tourists in the game, who like it because of the iconography or whatever, not knowing that detail, could come in and say, how dare they?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, cast Hunter Schafer as Zelda, you cowards.
Oh, I mean, I do you mean that, as Link?
Either or, honestly. Yeah. No, trans woman who is just a picture-perfect Zelda.
Yeah, this is true. People this say, is true.
She is, you know, it's a crime she isn't considered for the role. But no, I think what I would do is I would take Gustav from Clair Obscur and have Steve Martin be playing his Inspector Clouseau voice for the entire
movie. So just like an overdub.
Just like him going over, because no one in Clair Obscur, even though it is very French, does like a French accent.
Yeah.
And so I just want one character in the game going over the top silly French. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Also fun if you just wanted to piss off the French would be have someone doing French, but Quebecian French.
That's a great way to get shot.
Yeah, I believe Steve Martin was doing Quebecian French in The Pink Panther. Hmm. So,
I like that our creative sides come out when it comes to trolling people.
It's the best. That's human nature. It's the best use of energy is the thing. Yeah. Good question. Fun question. Fun answers. Thanks everybody for responding, and thank you, Dennis, for putting this up. If you would like to participate in these in the future, you can follow us on Blue Sky at the level podcast.bsky.social and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons. The end boss. Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games and how we feel about them. We got a little bit of a late start, so Greta knows that around this time is when we're about to wrap up, and so she is here headbutting my ankles because she wants treats. Sorry.
Stop it, Greta. It's not your birthday.
No, I deprived her of treats today. No. So I've got follow-up from last week. It's funny because, like, the day before the episode went live, things progressed. So last week I talked about games being pulled off of Steam due to pressure campaigns that were specifically put on payment processors, MasterCard and Visa, by a group called Collective Shout, which is anti-pornography, and has talked about wanting to go after just general LGBTQ content as well. That has progressed. The pressure campaign on their end also got a ton of games delisted on Itch, the small, you know, very small team that puts together this platform that is, you know, used to distribute indie games, indie media in general. There are people who like sell like game assets and like, you know, written word stuff and comics on there too. So you can still buy these, but the problem is that you cannot locate anything on search. And it also just like will not show up on any of the storefronts if you have those. So people saw their revenues dropping to basically nothing. And this did not just come for things tagged, you know, not safe for work, you know, like adult, like people thought. It was even taking down things that were just labeled with LGBT tags related to it. So kind of one of the worst possible situations outside of just literally taking things down. Itch has not responded very well to this. They're admittedly kind of powerless in this because like the, you know, it, the payment processors hold an inordinate amount of power, but Itch has been communicating poorly and also like doing weird stuff with withholding funds, trying to claw back any revenue that might have been accumulated on any of these that are specifically targeted. People have responded to this by orchestrating a phone campaign against Visa, MasterCard, now Stripe is part of the ban, and PayPal as well. So people are calling. It is really freaking out the customer service people there because, you know, the idea is take up as much of their time as you can in order to, you know, escalate, change the policy. I've heard reports of like the customer service people there like calling the people who are calling rapists, like saying stop bothering us. shit like that. And also Yikes. Doing everything they can to offload anybody calling about these onto an email that they are not going to read. Yeah. Sucks. That's where things are right now. People are still kind of orchestrating the call, you know, the phone call campaigns, but we are nowhere near the end of this, especially as seemingly more payment processors and more storefronts are being pressured to do shit like this.
Yeah, the one interesting angle on this I've seen, and Grad, obviously words are cheap, you know, that sort of thing, but apparently Visa has come out and just said, like, straight up, you know, we don't you know, censor anything. We don't know what people are buying and we don't care. Which, again, like I said, words are cheap. But it's interesting to me to know, like, exactly, you know, there is some truth to all this somewhere. You know, someone's lying, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, the PR people are lying.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Like, you know, so, like, people are targeting Itch, and there's certain conversation about, like, okay, how much of the flack should be going at Itch themselves. I'm not here to weigh in on that. It absolutely is a problem. And, like, sex worker advocates and just, you know, speech advocates in general going up to the ACLU have long made, long raised a concern that payment processors hold way too much sway over what can and can't be published. If this was matter of individual platforms being pressured to, you know, take things down, they have less power than, like, the global financial system does, right? So I think it is right to focus on the payment processors with the campaigns.
Yeah, the fact that they are not legally obligated to service everyone is pretty insane.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes this cuts in favor of progressivism. Sometimes it, you know, they, like, people end up being kicked off of, like, PayPal because they're Nazis or whatever, right? It's just, you gotta, whenever somebody builds a machine to do something, you have to be really concerned that they're going to turn it on people you agree with. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Has there been any progress to try to counter weaponize this? Any efforts to, you know, get white supremacists and MAGA and, you know, Trump and stuff like that banned from Visa or whatever?
Not that I have seen. I do know that Stripe is continuing to stand behind Substack, which as a platform really has a big problem with not getting outright Nazis off of it. Like, people are just doing white supremacist newsletters on Substack, and Substack does not seem to care. And Stripe is standing behind them. So, like, pressure has been attempted in that regard, but no dice. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just wanted to get this, you know, get this out there, follow up on it. I think it is one of the most important stories that's happening right now. I mean, as goes embarrassing porn games, so goes a whole bunch of other stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I say embarrassing, like, endearingly, honestly, no judgments or anything, but, like, it's all trial balloons and test cases and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it's the confirmation of, like, you know, okay, nominally this is to go after, like, pedophile shit, which, yeah, let's, like, yeah, fuck those
That was
guys.
Already against the law, but, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the mechanisms or the thing it's nominally about, we saw instantly it was being used in a different way. So,
yeah,
it's
new Red Scare shit. Like, it's, you know, just different forms of McCarthyism, you know, specifically to try and drum queer people out of public discussion. Right.
Which, you know, I would love to see pedophiles' lives be made as hard as possible. Right?
Yeah.
Any way we can do that, great. But the problem is there's a significant portion of the people doing this that view pedophile and any one of a number of orientations, et cetera, as synonymous in a just inaccurate way. So,
well, yeah. They also don't actually care about pedophiles.
No, like, no.
Right. Well, I would agree there's plenty of naive people out there who genuinely do worry about it from that angle,
yeah,
and assume that we're getting the right stuff with these actions.
They've been misled. That being said, like, oh, only the people who are other can be a genuine threat. The actual threats that come from within your family or from within your church, et cetera, from existing power structures that you hold dear. Obviously, we don't want to look at those.
Yarp.
Yeah. Moving to something related, Moxie, you got a story about age verification. The UK has really stepped in it with their law that we are going to pass our own version of here very soon.
Yeah. So they are requiring age verification for basically anything even remotely. I don't know, you know, adult.
Yeah.
To the point where there's a very serious possibility that Wikipedia is going to be banned in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wikipedia is possibly going to be banned. You need age verification to do any kind of like DMing, like private messaging on different services. What was the one? Apparently so many people in the UK are using VPNs to get around this that the lawmakers who most pushed the law to, you know, the Protect Children law that was put through here, they have started talking about outlawing the use of VPNs, to which I would like to say, ha ha, try.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of problems with that, ranging from, yeah, that would be super hard to do. And also, like, I use a VPN every day for work because mm-hmm. I'm required to by my employer.
Yeah.
But one of the funny things is that, as I understand it, the way Discord implemented this is you're required to take a picture of yourself, and I guess they try to judge your age, so I don't know if you have a baby face, you're just screwed, I don't know.
And how do they police that what picture you're posting?
Well, that's where this story comes in, because it turns out that a sufficiently high-def video game screenshot will work. most notably, though,
Norman Reedus.
In order to try to get around this, they require you to first, like, take a picture with your mouth open and then with your mouth closed.
Mm-hmm.
However, Death Stranding has a photo mode where you can make your character's mouth be open or closed.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, man, there's so many ways to go with this. Although I think my favorite is that this is the exact type of thing I would expect there to be a discussion of in a Kojima game. Like, I could definitely see Otakon, like, discussing about this as you're, like, trying to get through some sort of facial recognition, mm-hmm. something or another.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, the sad thing is this is not even the craziest thing that, like, the UK is doing right now. Like, the whole thing where they're arresting people for like political cartoons because they banned some Palestinian organization.
Yeah, the Palestinian Action Network, I think, is the name of that. Something like that. They basically have said they supporting this decidedly non-terrorist group, in support of the people of Palestine who are being genocided by starvation right now, in addition to being, you know, the rubble that was once their city is being bombed. If you, like, do anything to support this organization and thus anything trying to help anybody in Gaza, you are declared a terrorist. And things have been there have been absurd examples of overreach as regards this, because nobody knows how to actually enforce this. So it is left up to, like, individual law enforcement officers to decide how to do it.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, so many things wrong with it. One being just like, yeah, you definitely shouldn't, for example, like, say that, hey, I love Al-Qaeda. Like, that is something you should not do because that is an awful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have a human right to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there should if you do.
There should be social consequences. I don't know about legal ones.
Right, exactly. You know? The one bright side of that particular one, I realize I'm getting off topic, but I saw some news article where, you know, a teacher got arrested, and the one bright side is the one thing the teacher is demanding is a written apology, which is, I don't know, that just, I find that very funny.
Yeah. This ends up being relevant to people in the States because we're about to have our own version of this. There's been there's been a law working its way through the House for a while now. That's kind of in line with previous things that were done in order to basically like target sex work specifically. But COSA, the Kids Online Safety Act, has like broad bipartisan support. And is potentially going to be leaving a committee during the next kind of session that is coming up here. If you do not want federal things like this to happen at the federal level, it's happening at state levels right now. Like Ohio in the most recent budget did just pass a porn ban that requires age and identity verification on anything considered to be pornographic. You can see how fuzzy that is and how that can be used against, you know, vulnerable groups. But if you do not want that to happen at the federal level, call your lawmakers. There's a great site called fivecalls.org, mm-hmm. I believe, that you just tell it where you live and then it just feeds you the numbers for your representatives, for your representative and your senators. So, yeah, just call and I don't know. It seems pretty important to me.
Well, yeah. the other thing that I feel like sometimes misses is that, you know, a lot of the analysis I've heard, and it makes sense to me, is that the goal here is not really to have an age verification or whatever. The goal is, like, if there is age verification, it will leak sooner mm-hmm. or later. And, you know, the goal is to punish people by having a hack happened and having all this information become public.
Forget even hacks, to have this information stored somewhere so that it can be subpoenaed by the state if they want to.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't even need to be like, oh, we're just hoping an accident happens. It is just creating a single point of failure that the legal system can exploit as, you say, want to find people who look up, you know, find anybody who looks up a particular kind of porn or anybody who's looking up, say, like, I don't know, DIY HRT information.
Right.
You know?
Well, and then, yeah, and especially because, like, zero knowledge proofs, stuff like that are an established thing. Like, there would still be problems with, like, you know, the civil rights of this, all this sort of thing. But, like, you could set up a system in which there would be no paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to.
Yeah.
PSA, download Tor while you can.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anything else about this?
No, although I had a secondary and much more optimistic story. It's not really one that is great for discussion, but more something that's worth reading. CNN has a really great article on one of the last people in Hong Kong that still makes traditional mahjong tiles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really interesting read.
Yeah, she hand carves them, hand paints them.
Yep.
Nice. Go check that out. Going down the way here, Dennis, what is happening with consoles?
Yeah, they're getting deconsolefied. So this is one of those instances where a job posting is kind of giving us insight into where the market's headed. Sony is hiring for a position that is focused on basically supporting putting PlayStation exclusive titles, or formerly PlayStation exclusive titles, on other systems, including Xbox, PC, the Switch, etc.
Sweet.
There are people being put behind making PlayStation exclusives more accessible. They also mentioned putting them on Steam, the Epic Games Store, and mobile as well. Mm-hmm. Sony has kind of already dipped their toe in this water with Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War, and a couple other titles.
Yeah.
Things are looking likely that trend will continue. Mm-hmm. And the number of PlayStation exclusives will that go multi-platform will expand.
Mm-hmm. It's going the other way too. I mean, the most popular game on PS5 right now, at least recently I saw, was Forza Horizon 5, which is good because it's a really good game.
I think Gears of War is coming to PlayStation as well.
Yeah, a new like remaster of that's coming.
Is Forza Horizon, is that the new Horizon Zero Dawn game?
No.
Eventually they're going to come together.
It's no dinosaurs, it's just cars.
Okay.
It's the open world, the kind of like arcade racing game. Kind of an era, like a bit of an heir apparent to Burnout, except without the emphasis on crashing.
Oh, mm-hmm. So basically Burnout without the fun.
Well, I mean, like structure of Burnout Paradise, but kind of in a like more like wide open countryside kind of setting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Burnout without the fun. You get it's, out.
Sorry. It's still fun.
Yeah.
It's
a no, good game. I'm joking.
No, it sucks. And you can't convince me otherwise.
I do have to say, what was that game that was like the rally racing game?
Oh, The Crew.
Was that the one where you had to like, do like 180 turn, you know, you have your co-pilot that's like, you know, telling you the turns that are coming up where you have to like drift around them and stuff.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
It could be any number of,
This is good. I don't think the console exclusives make any sense anymore. Nintendo's obviously going to hold out. They're going to be an exception off the back of this, but yeah, if console developers, you know, if console makers were effectively just putting out like gaming PC specs for people to work to, you know, mm-hmm. that would be great. You know, we sell our little boxes here. If you don't want to make your own, here, get this $500 system and go nuts.
It feels like the new consoles are game engines. Yeah. Like how you're choosing to make something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, I don't know. Good news. I don't have anything more to say about that other than yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck to whoever gets in that role.
Yeah.
Hope it doesn't get bogged down in corporate bullshit.
Probably will. It's Sony. and sorry, I missed you there, Ben. Going back up to yours, what the fuck did these codenames people do?
Yeah, so we're going to have probably a downer ending as well, but maybe a little bit of light. So the news item is that CGE, I believe it's Czech Games Edition, is their board game publisher that's somewhat well known. Their kind of flagship game is Codenames. Mm-hmm. But there's other games that they made that I've enjoyed and own. They announced that they're coming out with a Harry Potter version of Codenames, and to which a lot of the gaming community said, why are you doing
not
this?
Not fucking cool.
The best thing that I saw, somebody wrote, yeah, it kind of makes sense that Harry Potter would be involved in something about, you know, revealing fascist collaborators.
So there's been a lot of justifiable backlash against this and asking them like why they chose to do this and like why they would want to associate with IP from JK Rowling. Mm-hmm. They released a statement along with this that was very very PR laden, like used things like, we know this is an ongoing conversation, we just want to have like respectful dialogue with everyone online and in person. And then consequently,
there's an easy way to do that. Don't don't ally with a fascist.
They
consequently turned off comments on all their posts for this, and then
started blocking people.
Blocked 200 people on Blue Sky. Uh-huh. So didn't really turn out the way that they wanted to. Some board game people have called to boycott them at Gen Con, which is coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
So to kind of do a sit-in at their booth to try and stifle any sort of sales going on. Mm-hmm. It'll be kind of interesting to see where they go from here. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, for them, Code Games is like their like version of like Settlers of Catan for whoever made that, which I think was Z-Man Games, mm-hmm. where it's like, this is just a cash cow where they can like reskin it 100 times and sell it. And it does sell pretty well because the original game is a pretty popular party game.
Yeah.
But yeah, this feels like a pretty big misstep or kind of like tone deaf, especially within the board gaming community, which is more kind of like... sensitive towards these things, you know?
Yeah.
Or thoughtful about these things.
There are a lot of queer people in the community around this and playing, right? Like, you know.
Yeah. And I think there's one, I guess, more charitable quote from I forget which source it was saying like they could understand like certain video games that came out before like all the J.K. Rowling stuff or were in development before that, but like this is so far past that line that it's like there's not really a justification for it at this point to do that sort of collaboration.
It's kind of like people who have a cyber truck that says I bought this. I went crazy. It's like, no, you fucking didn't. That came out of like this shipped in 2024.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll be curious to see what the aftermath of like a protest at Gen Con could be. Mm-hmm. And if there's any like trying to make amends from this situation. So
my understanding is normies by and large do not know what J.K. Rowling A is saying, which is bad enough, but B, what she is specifically funding. Like there is a direct line that can be drawn from her group and legal action that they started through to like the Supreme Court ruling in Britain that eliminated the concept of trans people from the law and instituted a nationwide bathroom ban, right? Like, you know, people try and say like death of the author or whatever. Not what we're talking about.
That doesn't sound too bad. I'm legally obligated to say that as a joke.
Yes. just like actual what she has said, money you spend on Harry Potter stuff, I am using this to try and make life impossible for trans people. And like not enough people know that.
What a bummer of an existence if that's like your life, that's how what your life turns into by the end of it, you know?
Man, like fucking transphobia, not even once. Like the number of people who have just like thrown everything away, ruined their entire lives just to be hateful anti-trans bigots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's obsession. It's an obsession. It's brain rot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck to the people at Gen Con. Dennis, you're not going to be there this weekend, are you?
No, not this year.
Okay.
Hopefully they get the message. They don't they can pick literally any other IP to put something out on. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious.
I wish I was going to be there so I could take part in protesting them.
Yeah.
And I guess like another curious detail I didn't see from the article is like, so this game was designed originally by Vlada Shivadal, who's like a big board game designer and makes usually pretty heavy, like kind of nerdy board games. And like, mm-hmm. this was kind of a one-off, the code names, like a more like a casual sort of game. So mm-hmm. it's like, that's like another thing I think of is like, doesn't he have any sort of say in this as well? So it's like, I wonder if, you know, messaging that person would do any, have any positive effect, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah. I'm sure people are trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all of our stories. How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Let's button.
The credit.
Thank you so much for listening to level number 552. We really appreciate you taking the time. If you would like to help us out, you can leave a rating or review. You can tell your friends, post about us on social media. You can support the Duck Feed Patreon. All of these are options that are available to you. Is there anything I'm forgetting, like admin wise? Join us on
Thank you to Gwen as always. Gwen.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And multiplayer answerer this week.
Oh yes,
she does it all, folks.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I've been Kay. You can find me on Blue Sky at K.Zone.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Blue Sky at Furia Games.
I've been Moxie.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. I have underselling a cat birthday. And I wrote down one of my own. It's embarrassing, but I didn't want to forget it. Get faster times.
Yes.
Yeah, I had that.
Yeah. Dennis or Moxie, what else did you have?
I had get faster times and rolling claws.
Okay. Talking about Dennis's Elden Ring build.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Dennis, what'd you have?
I had Ghost Boat.
Okay.
And I had Privates Ryan.
Privates, comma, Ryan?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. Ben, what you got?
I just had Gotcha Day.
Okay. Does anybody have a strong feeling?
Hunger.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So Get Faster Times has the most like entries on here. Is there one that somebody wants to put over to put on top of that?
No, I think that one captures the oeuvre.
Okay.
Now, wait, did you style it as Get Space Faster or Get Faster as like one name as if it was a city name?
I have it as two words, get faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how it was.
I'm going to put it to you guys. Should it be V get faster times or just get faster times? I think the
get faster times one word is what I like, but
okay.
Oh no, we're getting more options instead of less.
I'm going to make it V get faster times.
Yeah. That works.
Okay. Sweet.
It is decided.